Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Asking for a Friend podcast. It's an elder-led ministry of Believers Baptist Church in Emory, Texas. My name is Duffy Henderson, and I'll be your host. The Asking for a Friend podcast exists as a weekly resource for the edification and the benefit of God's people. Here, we hope to provide helpful, thoughtful, and most importantly, biblical material as we address everyday life questions and issues. If you find this podcast helpful, please take a few moments to share it with someone that you think would also benefit from it. Thank you for listening in today, and may the Lord bless this episode in particular greatly to you as a means of grace for your spiritual growth and your benefit. Well, for this episode, Jason and I are back together, and this is going to be a unique episode for us, and we hope it's beneficial. We are going to kind of just riff off of a theme today. We sat down to record a particular episode. We have been working on some prep for it, and in our conversation, we had a moment where we needed to put that one off and have a pre-conversation before that episode comes out. And so, Jason, first of all, before we jump in, hey, welcome to the podcast.
Well,
today.
Thank you, Duffy. And it's going to be an interesting podcast episode for our listeners, and I hope it'll be helpful. Our prayer is, as you prayed before we started recording, that it would be some help and encouragement to those who listen.
Yes. Today we're going to address the topic and the theme, specifically in the New Testament, on suffering in the life of the Christian. And the reason why I'll say this as a bit of a teaser for our next episode, and we'll circle back to this, but we want to address a passage in the book of James, or the epistle of James, next week. But we were just sitting here talking about prayer in the life of the church and suffering, whether it be spiritual or physical, illness, depression, we're just thinking in broad terms here with the life of the Christian. All sorts of things come up, and how the scriptures teach us to engage that, the suffering, how we come alongside one another. We've had a lot of episodes in the recent days, or months rather, on what makes us distinctive as a church. We've had some episodes on congregationalism, church discipline, elders, deacons. So this kind of fits in the same vein of themes that we've been covering. But we want to just briefly cover, and we'll try to keep it short here, but we want to briefly cover the concept of what the New Testament speaks on suffering. Jason, we're just going to kind of have a free conversation here before we touch next week's episode.
Right. Well, you know, I think you're right, and obviously it can't be comprehensive. It can't be exhaustive in the context of the podcast episode, but maybe we can just say some things, because suffering, illness, hurt, these kinds of things are going on in the life of our congregation. They're very real. We just had dinner, Stacy and I, with Barbara Cameron, her husband, Mike, passed away with just a brief illness with cancer. He was diagnosed, and within 3 weeks, he was already gone to be with the Lord. I just got the phone call. Robbie, we were sitting across the table.
Just a few minutes ago.
That's right. My mom called, and it wasn't totally a surprise, but my dad has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and probably 6 months to live. I'm sitting here with a pounding headache from a sinus infection. I've got a heart monitor on, trying to figure out what's going on with my heart after 4 years of heart issues since COVID November of 2020. But we've got, within the context of our church, not only Barbara and her grief, but we had the tragic accident that we've referenced on another episode of Brad Joyner, a beloved member of the congregation. We've got Mary Covington, who's facing 6 different surgeries, eye surgeries, very extensive and very intense surgeries. We've got Jan Anderson, who was just diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer, and they're working through all of the issues with that. We also have one of our church members, Shawnee Peacock, Matthew and Shawnee Peacock. their first grandbaby is having surgery tomorrow, and she's a newborn, about a month old, and she's since birth had some intestinal problems, and so they're going to try to correct that tomorrow in surgery in College Station. So suffering is all around us.
In the life of Christians, right? And that's kind of the context we want to have. There are various positions on this in the broader, you know, Christian world, lowercase c, I would say, on how the Christian relates to suffering and difficulty in the life, and how we are to receive the information of the cancer diagnosis.
Right.
How that Christian ought to respond to those. Is it despair? Is it anger? Is it hopelessness? And we want to just kind of tease that out a little bit within the context of our next week's episode from James 5 on prayer. And so, again, we're going to kind of tease that out, and we're going to talk about that specifically next week. But so what does the New Testament teach us, Jason, about suffering in the life of the Christian?
Well, the Old Testament is going to be our context for our understanding, because we can go back to Genesis chapter 3, and we see there that as sin entered into God's perfect creation, then death entered in, and now we have sickness, and we have the consequences of a fallen world that we're living in. So then now we get to the New Testament, and we see, and as we are taught in Romans chapter 8, that the whole world is groaning for release from this curse that the world is under. The whole universe is groaning, and the Christian groans under the curse. The Holy Spirit groans on behalf of the believer as the believer tries to pray through and live through by faith and in obedience to all of the struggles and hurts and despair of a fallen world. And so here we are and trying to think now, what do we do and what is the purpose of suffering? You know, probably, again, referencing back to the Old Testament, probably the greatest book that gives us insight is the book of Job.
Yeah.
And we see there that not all sickness, not all troubles are from
it's Satan. Not all connected to sin or spiritual, you know, warfare and those kinds of things.
That's right.
Although it can be.
Right.
That shouldn't be always our first, you know.
Right. And in the context of evangelical Christianity, Dad, yeah. That's the first place that people go.
I was listening in our kind of just my broad prep for our podcast. I was listening to a sermon and reading some literature, and you know, there's that I guess hyper sense of, although it is a true and it's a reality that there is spiritual warfare going on all the time. It can be unhelpful at times to maybe have thoughts of like, what did I not do that I've kind of brought this upon myself, or I've, you know, if I've got the cancer diagnosis, just as an example, not thinking of anything in particular, but have I not had enough faith, Lord? Having those kinds of thoughts and prayers, and then in order to correct the cancer diagnosis, we need to get more spiritual or something like that. Sometimes those are just not connected at all.
Right, right. You see that Job's friends were advising Job that he had sinned against God.
Yeah. And something you got to uncover or confess, right, or something like that. Right.
And you see in the context of that, you see Job at times have great faith. His confidence is in God. But then you also see him make strong accusations toward God. So it's an interesting dialogue that goes on between Job and his friends. But, you know, again, I think the place in which most of evangelical Christians go today when they encounter tragedy and hurt and sickness and cancer diagnosis and all those things is, you know, as you were saying, what have I done wrong? What sin has caused this? And I think that is because we are so, in our Western culture, we are so addicted to comfort and convenience.
Ooh, hey, don't go there now.
Well, you know, we have
No, you're right. I think you're dead on there.
Yeah. We have so much what I call entitlement. In our Bibles and Biscuits Men Bible Study on Tuesday morning.
Brief announcement. Come join our Bibles and Biscuits.
Right.
Tuesday mornings at 6:30.
6:30 a.m.
Now back to our show.
Right. But we had the same discussion a little bit about this idea of expectation or entitlement, that we think that we deserve comfort and convenience in this life because we go to church, because we tithe, because we are doing the spiritual disciplines. But nowhere in the New Testament do we see the idea of perfect health, a prosperous life, as a guarantee.
Actually, we see the opposite.
Right.
We actually see, I think there's a strong case to be made, we can expect discouragement. We can expect the poor health. We can expect the despair, the circumstances that are not favorable. I think that's what our world is. We've been preaching through, or started a series in Ecclesiastes. I think Ecclesiastes is a perfect lens for us to view the world, the reality of a sin-cursed world.
Right. And how does a Christian work his way
through
that?
That's exactly right. And if you want to know, come to church.
Right.
And Jason's doing a great job through preaching through Ecclesiastes. Uh-huh. So, well, stay tuned.
Yes, it has been a helpful book for myself, and prayerfully it has been for those who are here on Sunday mornings. But back to the understanding that I think that we need to recognize as New Testament believers is that our purpose, that our suffering, rather, has a purpose. It's not just random. And this is one of the things that we have to grasp as believers, is that God does have a purpose for it. We're not just left to the whims of a fallen world. And these tragedies and disasters and hurts come just by chance or happenstance. They come with a purpose of a sovereign God who is providentially working to cause us to grow into Christ-likeness. And so a heart monitor or a sinus infection or a cancer diagnosis, all of these things have to be understood with, okay, what is the purpose of God in my life? And part of that is to make me like Christ, to learn patience, to learn dependency upon God, to recognize that this world cannot give me what only God can give me. Part of that is to recognize that I have to be patient with my suffering until God brings in all the elect. That's really the admonition that we see when you take all of the letters of the New Testament. I think what stands out, particularly we do see it in James, and we do see it in 1 Peter, this idea of patience and suffering. So why don't we be patient? Because he's conforming us to the image of his Son, and he's bringing in, ultimately, all those who are his elect. So we wait. We patiently endure whatever it is that we have to endure. And that doesn't mean we don't pray. It doesn't mean we don't cry. It doesn't mean we don't ask God to intervene. It doesn't mean that we don't call on the congregation to be involved, or even the elders to be involved. It means that we just patiently accept what God is doing.
That's right. And I think what the New Testament teaches us about suffering is not how do I escape suffering, it's how do I suffer well.
Right.
That's what the New Testament teaches. If I could summarize it, at least in my opinion, kind of as I have studied this, not how do I escape suffering, how do I get released from this suffering, but it's how do I suffer well. First Peter is my, anytime I think about this, I'm always going to First Peter, because Peter gives us the example of Christ. As Christ, your Lord, your shepherd, suffered, so you suffered well in humility, so we, his sheep, should suffer well in humility, trusting in him.
That's right.
Right. He is sufficient. Is it 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians? Just off the top of my head, his grace is sufficient for my weakness.
It's 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
That's a great passage to think of as we're talking about this.
Let's read that. Let's think about what Paul writes beginning in 2 Corinthians. I've said chapter 12. It's chapter 11. But he goes on and he talks about he has had far greater labors, far more imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from these other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. And Paul is not relieved of these things. These are actual experiences. These are not something that he has just recorded as something that is unrelated to what's happened to him. But this really is something that has happened to him. He goes on. Isn't it in chapter 12
yes,
that
I'm
you
looking
were
at
referenced?
It. Yes. Yes. So he goes on and continues that thought.
Yeah.
And chapter 12, verse 9 is, but the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, this is Paul, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And this right here, I don't know how clear you can get. For the sake of Christ, this is 2 Corinthians 12:10. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That is the disposition of the Christian.
Right.
In this life.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that he used the word content? He used the word content, or as some translations say it, pleased to, you know, endure those events, those persecutions, those sufferings, for he knew that those are the things that created strength and faith in him, spiritually speaking.
Yeah. And I mean, we could go to 30 different texts, but I think that if you just take 1 Peter as a whole, 2 Corinthians 11 and 12 with what Paul is describing, I think that as Christians, first of all, we're pilgrims. This world is not our ultimate residing place. So you've been talking about on Sunday mornings recently in Ecclesiastes 2 that we can enjoy the world that God has given us without putting our hope in the world that God has given us.
Right.
Our hope is in Christ and in the future consummation of all things. It's not now.
Right.
So we work and we work hard and we sweat and toil, and then we do it again and again and again and again and again and again. And it's monotonous and it's mundane, but we can find joy in that. And oftentimes, I think we think that we're suffering when we're working.
Right.
We should have a better perspective of that. We need to define suffering as well. Making a really poor financial decision doesn't necessarily qualify, I think, in the biblical sense of suffering. This is suffering, what we're talking about, chiefly, but for the sake of Christ.
Right.
That's what Peter talks about. He's not talking about foolishly suffering for something that, you know, as I tell my kids, that was boneheaded. Don't do that, you
right,
know.
Right. not using the wisdom that
right.
is given to
That's
us
right, yeah.
certainly will result in
yeah.
the consequences of some suffering. But yes, we're talking about the suffering of, and not really so much the suffering of persecution at this moment,
mm-hmm.
which this seems to be a lot of the context of Peter, but just the suffering of life and
yes.
living.
Just mundane of life.
We live in a fallen
that's
world.
That's right. We live in a fallen world.
I think that, you know, we see several places in the New Testament that help us to have a context on the fact that healing is not promised to everyone. And if it is, why? If healing is promised to everyone, why does some get it and some don't?
Mm-hmm.
That's a question that those who would advocate for that idea need to wrestle with. Some get it, some don't. Why? And I know that some would say their answer would be because they lack faith, which is a damnable heresy that causes people to lose so much of their confidence in God, so much of their joy in God. What a tragic place to be. What a false teaching that is. But we also have, then, in the context of the New Testament, this idea that not everybody received healing, even in the apostolic times.
Jesus himself was selective.
Yes.
In his ministry. He didn't heal everyone.
Right.
When he had opportunity to.
Right. So we have, for example, we have Paul talking about Trophimus. Talking about Trophimus in 2 Timothy. And he says, I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Well, Paul, why didn't you heal him?
He's an apostle, right?
Right. Didn't you have enough faith to bring the healing that needed to be brought for Trophimus, Epaphroditus, and Philippians? Paul says he was near death for the work of the gospel. And Paul didn't heal him, didn't have any kind of special ceremony, any special significant thing that he pointed to as far as a miracle of healing. And God himself spared Epaphroditus, Paul says, and had mercy on us in doing that. So, you know, even the example of probably the greatest individual of faith who's ever lived gives us two. Yeah.
It's a base. It's a baseless claim to say that that we can expect healing in that sense, guaranteed or, you know, depending on the circumstances.
So. Right. And let's say this too, Tuffy, just so there won't be any misunderstanding. We're not saying that God can't heal.
Yeah. We're not talking about God's ability to heal here.
That's not even on the plate.
Yeah,
because people will immediately say, well, don't you believe God heals? Yes, that's like saying the sky is blue. The sky is blue.
Yes.
It's yes.
Yes.
We believe God can heal. He can choose any purpose for healing anytime, any way that he wants to do it.
And he does miracles today.
Yes.
He does them at whenever he decides to. We've seen miraculous healings today.
Right. I'm praying one for my tremendous headache and sinus pressure I'm feeling at this moment. But even if he doesn't, we will accept what he's doing.
Hopefully by the time you've heard this episode, he will have come through this sinus infection and be feeling better.
I'm waiting for the doctor to call back for the prescription, and that's God's healing. That's God's provision.
Yeah.
But we're not ever arguing the fact that God can't heal.
Exactly. To be ultra clear, we are not talking about God's ability here.
No.
This is just talking about how the New Testament talks to us and teaches us to live in and respond to really the mundane of life, but when we face suffering, physical suffering, emotional suffering, those sorts of things.
Right. So let's get to the text right here at the end of this episode.
Yep.
And again, at the beginning, we said that it was not be exhaustive or comprehensive, so maybe it's helped set the stage for next week's discussion concerning James chapter 5. And let me read it, beginning in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain for 3 years and 6 months, and it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. And then he says in verse 19, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings him back, brings back a sinner from his wandering, will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins.
Yeah, and so we thought it best at the last minute to call an audible and talk about the concept of suffering before we're going to attack that passage next week.
Right. So let's ask some questions just to whet the appetite, okay? So what does it mean? Is anyone among you sick? What does it mean that God will raise him up? What does it mean to call the elders of the church and let them pray for him? How do you understand that he may be healed, the person who is prayed for?
And how that connects to a confession of sins to one another.
Right.
What on earth is James talking about here? It seems like there's a lot of stuff going on that isn't really connected, right?
Yes, right.
But I think we can make the case that it is.
Right.
So we're gonna end that today. Hopefully this episode was helpful to you, listener. Again, this was kind of an off-the-cuff. We'd had no notes in front of us, which is unusual. But I enjoyed that with you, Jason.
Well, thank you, Duffy. Yeah, and I know, again, that we're just trying to set up the James text, and there probably are more things that we could have said concerning suffering, and maybe could have said some things better. But at least that sets the context now for us to be able to approach the text and hopefully get some help and encouragement and understanding about it.
Yeah, and so be sure to listen to next week's episode, and that'll be the follow-up. Well, that wraps it up for today's episode. Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to the Asking for a Friend podcast. We sure hope it's been a blessing to you. Don't forget to like and share the podcast with someone else that you think would also benefit from it. Share it through social media or email or text message, however you share your media. Don't forget that you can ask us to address a topic or a question in the future by going to our media tab on our website, bbcemory.org, and you can drop that to us in the information box at the bottom. But as usual, until next time, grace and peace be with you all.